This is On the Other Hand. A podcast that explores politics and other issues of importance to Arkansans through conversations with community leaders. On the Other Hand is sponsored by Braver Angels in Arkansas, and Braver Angels is part of a national organization that aims to reduce political polarization by promoting honest but respectful dialogue among people of all political beliefs. We believe our progress as a community and country happens when we actively seek common ground with the other side so that problem solving can occur.
Well, April, we had a great, excellent conversation with Ray Hanley, and we're going to finish up with the second part of our two-parter today with Ray. And in this next episode, some of the things you'll hear are some of his ideas about how to work effectively across the divide here in Arkansas and some of the things that gives him hope for the future. As you know, right now, our political conversation is quite hostile, often very incivil. And so I want to see what your thoughts are about how you interact or how you suggest other people interact when you're dealing with someone with a differing political view from yours, especially if things kind of go negative in a downhill way and they get to be really hostile towards you. What's a good way to respond and have an effective conversation?
I think you have to listen. I think you can't immediately go on the defensive. You can't go on the defensive or go on the attack. I think you have to listen and then have a conversation after that and say, well, you know, I understand, you know, your point of view, where you're coming from, but let's look at this another way. And, you know, I have found two people that weren't willing to, sometimes they got to vent, they got to talk, they got to tell you what they think first, and that's okay. But I haven't found many people that weren't willing to go on and have a more in-depth conversation, as long as you're, you know, patient and don't lose your temper. And you just got to let people, you know, talk.
And see, I can see how you're drawn to the Braver Angels approach, because that's exactly what we talk about, is that the importance of listening first in a non-judgmental fashion, giving people time, learning more about where they stand on something, and then, you know, they may be more open to hearing what you have to say. And when you say it in a way that's respectful and makes it more likely that they'll hear what you have to say.
I'm curious on that, Glenn, and I know we teach this. We teach what they call the LAP skills, the listening, acknowledging, pivoting, and then sharing your perspective. But I know that we've gotten at Braver Angels a little bit of pushback. There are some folks that say, you know, it's fine to do those skills when you can have a productive and civil conversation in good faith. But what happens when you have people that are not open, or it seems like they're not open to finding and agreeing on common ground? And I'm interested in Ray's perspective on how do you differentiate between people with whom maybe you could have that productive and civil conversation versus those who might not be open.
You have to read the bios in the room, I think, before you pick your targets to start with. And don't start with the ones that you know are the hardest to move. You try to narrow it down to some people that are more pragmatic and you think are approachable. And if you encounter a couple that just are not, and they're just hardened on their positions, and they're not gonna, you know, have a, then you move on to somebody else. You don't waste a lot of time on people that told you that they have no interest in compromising or supporting you know, the issue. And there are going to be people like that. But That's then right. there are people that are approachable. And, I mentioned, to you, Glenn, I mean, two Republican, very conservative Republican legislators that I've had a great deal of respect for and conversation with is Julie Mayberry over in East End and Breanne Davis up in Russellville, particularly on health care and public policy. That, they both have, handicapped children, which I know influences their view. And I've watched Breanne advocate on Facebook and other places for the children or Down's patients. I think you gotta look at the list of folks, and you gotta pick your folks you want to start with, and you want to see if you can get on board some people that can help you with the dialogue, so that it's not just lefty Glenn White out there, trying to moderate a conversation, but that you co-op some people that you like and in public office that can help with the conversation.
That's also why we have in Braver Angels, we try to always have an equal representation of reds and blues. So when we have a workshop or something, we usually have a red and a blue moderator, or else we just have two moderators who don't take positions. She's right. A lot, we do have that question come up a lot about what do you do when somebody just doesn't seem to be of good faith. And I agree with the way you're looking at it, Ray. The way I've talked about it is that don't be too quick to give up on people, because if you use the skills that we teach in Braver Angels, the listening and speaking skills, sometimes, like you said, after they've had a chance to ventilate and they see that you're not escalating and turning it into a shouting match, they can become more open to hearing your side.
And I think they cover the gamut. There are certainly people that are movable. There's just going to be, and I think it's a minority, perhaps in the, low to single digits, that I wouldn't waste my time on.
Yeah. And sometimes you have to spend a little time to figure that out. Others are real obvious from the start.
And one of the things that I thought was interesting that you just said too was to read the bios in the room. The way that we know the bios of the people is to actually have spent time. I mean, you can look at their bios on a website or something, but to actually have spent time sitting down and listening to their stories, the reason why those two legislators that you mentioned, that they both have, children. I mean, you've heard their stories. You understand where they're coming from. And we are so much more than just the labels that we have on us. If I was running for office, I'd be so much more than just a red legislator. I am, a wife, a mother, a church, member, a professor. I'm so much more than just that one label. But it's so easy for us to get into labeling people when we're approaching them just with that one label of they're conservative or they're liberal.
And a good example of that is my own Senator Kim Hammer from Benton, who, as a House member in 2013, was opposing, the Medicaid expansion. I got to know him. He's a hospital chaplain at Saline Memorial. We talked about, why this is important to hospitals, why it's important to Saline Memorial, why it's important to the, patients and families you're ministering to. And, that knowing that he was a minister and a hospital chaplain, as well as a legislator, gave me an agenda of conversation that I wouldn't have had I not known his background. Some of these, again, one of them, he ran a construction company. Well, your workers, if they got health care coverage and can see a doctor when they're sick and get preventative care, they're probably going to be better employees and better able to show up and do their job. And said, well, yeah, that's true. So, knowing their backgrounds and their communities, what matters in you know their local community is very helpful.
You know, all the examples you've been giving have been you trying to move the persons towards an outcome that you would like. But my guess is, I'm only guessing, and I'm asking if this is true or not, that there have been times as you've heard their stories that you also have moved towards them in your and almost sometimes changing your perspective or some, you know, looking at something differently based on something that they've said. Would that be a correct representation?
I think correct to the extent where they moved partly. You're required to move partly the other direction toward compromises that they're willing to support. Yes. Yeah. I think there sometimes needs to be movement in both directions to reach a middle ground. Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, you talk about movement in both directions. There, as you know, in this polarized atmosphere now, we have many people on both sides who have dug in and are just not willing to give, to compromise, to do anything where the other side might have a win. And in an atmosphere like that, Ray, you, as someone who has some conservative views, but not uniformly so, or at least not what's considered conservative, I think you make a good case for why they might be. How do you respond to people on the red side who might criticize you and say, well, that Ray Handley, he's just a liberal. He, you know, he's, look what he's for, so we don't have to pay attention to him. How do you deal with that sort of thing?
Well, you know, I got called that by, you know, the some of the national groups that came to Arkansas to campaign against Medicaid expansion. You know, I went to a meeting down in Benton that was hosted by somebody from D.C. who came to rally the troops against Medicaid expansion. And it was, what was the group we talked about yesterday? Glenn?
Americans for Prosperity?
Yeah. It was a group of them. And this national expert talked about how it was evil and Obamacare and the state couldn't afford it and whatever. And I looked at a sign that said, "Government, keep your hands off my health care." Somebody was actually holding that sign. And it occurred to me that, and of course, the campaigning against government funded health care and whatever, that at the time I was probably the only one in the room that wasn't on Medicare. So finally, I just said, you know, hey, I raised my hand in the back. Said, I got to say this. I'm looking at this sign, and you're all talking about railing against the evils of government-sponsored healthcare. But I'm probably the only one in the room other than the moderator at the podium, who was probably in his, you know, 30s, that doesn't have government-sponsored healthcare. And then they just, blah, 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 you know, they just, they didn't like that at all. And so, well, you're just somebody actually called me just short of a communist for, and the truth is just they weren't ready for it.
So how do you deal with people like that? Maybe some of those you cannot deal with, but for people who might be open, how can you argue that I do have a generally conservative viewpoint despite what you're hearing, and here's why? What do you tell them?
Again, you know, it comes back to, I can make the argument and have on healthcare expansion that it is a conservative, pro-life, pro-family view to give people healthcare coverage so that they can access care, so that they can stay healthier, can better take care of their families, better work. I can make that a conservative principle, and one that obviously the Democrats and the blue side is supporting anyway for other reasons. I don't know, maybe they think people ought to have health care access. But then I want to talk about why it is important to the red side that it's pro-family, and which is not a term that the blue side uses much. I mean, you're not going to hear them say, you know, pro-family, really. But that seems to be a red talking point about, you know, being pro-family and pro-life. giving people access to healthcare is pro-life. I mean, you get your preventative services. States like Texas and Mississippi that won't expand care. You know, people are suffering and dying because they don't have access to care. Well, that's not pro-life. You know, pro-life to me is, you don't quit trying to figure out how to help people after they're born. I mean, kids need access to care to be healthy and go to school. Adults need access to care to be able to take care of their families and work. So I can make that a red conservative talking point, and would rather come at it from that standpoint than whatever the blue side might do.
So, Ray, I know another area that you've mentioned as being a place where there might be potential for bipartisan cooperation and problem solving, especially as we're looking at politics at the local level that you're talking about, and that would be in education. And I'm wondering what suggestions you have for how we can work together in Arkansas on this important issue across our differences.
Well, I think you have to talk about the importance of economic development and recruiting industry to your red audience. If you, to the extent you don't have an educated, capable workforce, you're going to have trouble recruiting industry. And that's an issue that crosses party lines. You know, Arkansas loses out on industries, I'm sure, because we don't have the trained, educated workforce that some other states have. And so to the extent we can invest in education and improve test scores, improve the graduation rates, then Arkansas is in a stronger position to compete economically. If you look at Governor Hutchinson, this, mandating coding in all the high schools certainly has been a major contribution to education. And there needs to be more initiatives like that, I think, to get people more ready for the workforce, once they leave school. You need to talk about investing in Votech more. Everybody doesn't need to go to college. Education needs to be about not only what's good for kids and families, but what's good for the state and what advances the economy and opportunities for its people.
So just in general, what suggestions might you have in addition to what you just mentioned about how we work together? You talked about some ways in which I think blues could appeal to reds, but what about just in general of as we try to create a better community? How can we get people working across the divide in various areas?
I think if you can have your initial around the table meetings with some legislators, the ones that are willing to show up, look for one or two at the table that you think can help you bring some others to the table where you couldn't do it yourself. Can they help reach out to a colleague, two or three or four, that are willing to join them at the next session to have a conversation?
Okay, that makes sense. So since we're talking about Arkansas politics here now, the legislators, but think a little bigger than that. Where do you see Arkansas, this state, going? We talked about how Democratic it was for a long time, and then it's turned around. Where do you see things going in the future here in Arkansas in terms of its politics, in terms of any kind of positive direction as well as any kind of concerns you might have?
It's not going to be Democratic in our lifetime. I mean, this you can write that down. It's a long-term Republican state. I think the die's cast on that. When we're electing Republican legislators in South Arkansas and Northeast Arkansas, and there are only pockets of Democrats left in you know, Fayetteville and a couple of counties in the Delta. It is going to be a Republican red state for a long time. Yeah, and you just have to accept that and find a way to work with it.
And from what you've said so far, it sounds like, I mean, that doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing to have a Republican state if people are working across the aisle looking for the best ideas, regardless of political ideology as its source.
It doesn't matter whether you think it's a good or a bad thing. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. And you just have to accept that and then find a way to make things better by working with that reality.
So tell me this then, for us in Braver Angels here in Arkansas, how do you see us being able to help make things as good for Arkansas as we can, whether it be in the community with the legislators or other government officials? What can we do? What's our role?
You know, I followed the email chain over the last couple of days, and if you know, the Senate, the state Senate, if some of them are willing to let you do come in and do a workshop and a presentation, that's a great place to start, because you get to introduce yourself and Braver Angels, and you get to read the room and the faces and find out who's interested to, you know, have another conversation perhaps outside of that room, and who might be willing to get some of their colleagues to the table. I think on a local level, I mean, local government is weak in this state. I mean, there's no, you know, there's little county autonomy on, you know, other than, you know, filling potholes and things. I mean, this is a centrally administered state. You know, it comes out of Little Rock. I think, but again, with politics being what it is, I think you don't necessarily just focus on, you know, seeing them here in Little Rock. I think there's some merit in picking out a couple of legislators out in the state and, you know, going to see them in their home office. You know, go to Magnolia or Russellville or somewhere away from, you know, the Capitol and Little Rock, and, you know, sit down on their own turf in their own office and have a conversation. And I found that sometimes they respect that, the fact that you made the effort to come see them, and they're more comfortable talking in their own environment there. So, you know, and I'm just thinking out loud here, but I'm not sure. Before I convened anything in Little Rock, I would pick out some of these people and go see them.
Interesting thought.
And introduce yourself and introduce Braver Angels and just let them talk.
Well, the thing that has in common with the idea of talking to the legislators in person is something I think is really important. And it underlies the principle that underlies a lot of what we do, which is building personal relationships, getting people to know each other personally. And one of the things that does, if nothing else, is to fight this stereotypical, almost dehumanized view that often is put forth by the different parties about the other side. And when you find out, well, gee, this person, we do have some things in common, they seem otherwise reasonable, other than these, you know, views I really don't like, it does, that relationship does help make things go a little better.
I think in advance of any meeting, you have something prepared about Braver Angels that you can send them.
Yeah.
Read. And I think that helps start a conversation and makes it more productive if they know who you are, you know, in advance. And so I think, and not just, you know, a national promo package, but it needs to be, you know, more localized. You know, the Arkansas chapter of Braver Angels. And to the extent you can get your meeting set and send them that in advance to read, then you start out with, I think, a better prepared.
I'm excited, Ray, that you're going to be working in Arkansas with Braver Angels, because these ideas are really amazing, and you already have developed relationships. And I mean, it's not going to be difficult to be able to continue developing those relationships, and learning from you as to how you've done that has been very valuable for us today. I think about one of the things that I've been talking about in one of the classes that I'm teaching this semester. And I've been talking about how local level politics can, that we can actually do things within our own communities to better the way things are being done. So I also think that one of the things I would love for us to be working on is to be thinking about, you know, what are the local area politics in communities that they're struggling with, that we could help go in and actually moderate common ground workshops with them. So that might be something that we can do in the future. So I'm going to ask you kind of a wrap-up question here. You have a lot of hope. I can tell that from the stories that you've shared, and I believe that you have hope that we can start communicating effectively and working to solve problems across the political divide. You've shown us with your own work on healthcare in Arkansas and working with helping with education. And so what continues to fuel that hope for you?
It's either that or you just, surrender to despair and walk away, which is not in my DNA. I've got six grandkids and range from, 3 to 12, and I'd like to think that they're gonna have a chance to grow up and be, productive contributing citizens, and things won't be in a bigger mess, then than they are now. And my philosophy has always been, I'm going to leave things better than I found them. And I've approached every job I've had that way. And I think to a significant extent, I've been able to do that.
Is there anything else you'd like our listeners to think about? Last thoughts?
I've worked in 45 states and a couple of countries, and I've been all over the world, and but I've never lived anywhere but Arkansas. I never wanted to, and I could have worked a lot of places and lived a lot of places, and I chose to stay here. And I think Arkansas is full of potential. We just all need to work together to help realize more of that.
Thank you so much, Ray. That was a brilliant way to end things. And I love that thought of leaving things better than you find them.
Well, this has been a fantastic discussion, this two-part discussion, and we hope you enjoyed the second part of today's discussion. Be sure to check out the first part of the conversation we had with Ray if you haven't already, as well as past and future podcast episodes of On the Other Hand. And you can find those on our Braver Angels Arkansas website, and that address is arkansas.braverangels.org/podcast, or you can find us on your favorite podcast site. And we'd love to hear from our listeners about feedback about our program. Give us ideas for speakers or topics or whatever you want to share with us. And if you're interested in that, email us at otherhandar@gmail.com. That's otherhandar@gmail.com.
On the Other Hand is sponsored by Braver Angels in Arkansas. Music was composed by Randall Standridge of Jonesboro, Arkansas, and was performed by the University of Northern Colorado Symphonic Band. Dr. Richard Main, conductor. From your host, Glenn White.
And April Chatham Carpenter.
Have a good evening, and let's all work to bring our community closer together.